advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
You're feeling the music.
I am, man. I'm feeling it.
Feeling
it today.
Yo.
I got what's his name? Armando?
Mondo Coronado.
Mondo Coronado.
Yo.
His whiskey up in a Johnny Walker glass.
A shout out to Mondo. He sent us a bottle of whiskey. It is Jack Daniels, which I have actually never had, so I'm curious to try.
I mean, I've definitely had Jack and Coke. I just never drank the way we drink it, all neat. But it's actually, you know what? It's pretty good. It's
my neighbor loves Jack Daniels. Like, that's his whiskey. Yeah,
a couple of friends of mine, that's their goat. Like, yeah. That's all they drink is they hit.
Yeah.
But again, he sent us it, and we thank him deeply for it. It will be added to our wall of whiskey. And as always, if you send us whiskey, we will drink it on the show and then give our really crude assessment of what we think it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will put your name on the bottle and add it to the wall.
And Jack Daniels is, I have categories of whiskey, and it is a candied whiskey. Anything that is very sweet in nature.
Is that a real term, or are you just making that up?
No, that's what I consider them. Like a candy.
You have your own terms. Candied. Listen to you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I take back what I said earlier about us using like a lame description. He's like busting out like,
yeah.
It's got peppery undertones.
The rosemary incites me.
Let's do a.
Dave has a legit cheers. Pour there.
He does. Mine's smaller. Britton already had three glasses.
Here we go.
Yeah.
No, Jack Daniels is surprisingly smooth. I always thought, like, when I drink a Jack and Coke back in the day, I was like, damn, this tastes like Pine Sol.
But no, it's.
That's good.
Yeah, Jack Daniels isn't bad.
Mondo might have just saved me a whole bunch of money on whiskey at home.
The really funny thing is I was joking and saying it had peppery undertones, but it does have peppery undertones.
Dave probably read some whiskey profile.
At first it's spicy and then it gets sweet. I don't mind it.
Yeah, it does. It does. But that's why the sweetness, it's a little more sweet than other.
Mondo.
Yeah.
First
he's spicy, then he's sweet. So shout out to Mondo and all his boys. I know he's got his boys listening to it, and we appreciate it as we appreciate most of you for listening. And I say most of you because there's probably two of you out there that if I met, I'd be like, I just assume you didn't fucking listen anymore.
What an asshole. Yeah.
But all the rest of you, legit.
Yep.
And you can all assume you're the legit one.
And as we promised through Facebook Messenger, you will get gay sex, Mondo. Just
if it's on the table anyway.
It's on the table.
It's there.
That's what we said. We always follow through with what we promise.
So our topic today, this is one that we've had multiple when we've put out calls for topics and what we should talk about. We did a generic show a while back about the Illuminati in general, and we've had a lot of people who have wanted us to focus on specific aspects or groups that could be part of the Illuminati or the New World Order or whatever term you want to use. And so we decided that our first sort of in-depth look would be at the Freemasons specifically, because they're one of the groups that most people think of as a secret society, as all that kind of stuff. They define themselves as a fraternity, not a secret society.
Yes, and this kind of goes along with we've been looking at cults, cult leaders. Freemasons are by many proclaimed as a cult.
A lot of people do claim it's a cult. The Masons themselves insist it has nothing to do with religion and it isn't a cult, but some people do say that.
But there's a lot of back and forth on that too, because the Freemasons, you are required to have a religion. They don't care what religion it is, as long
you're
as
required
it's a
belief in a God. Believe in a cosmic muffin somewhere up there. But before we get too deep into the Masons, I do want to plant in everyone's brains that on Saturday the 12th, we will be at an event. It will be our first public appearance of the Sofa King podcast. If you are in the Southern California area, Bakersfield specifically, we will be at an event that is there to raise money for Relay for Life and towards cancer research. And it's a kind of a nerd fest cosplay, Magic the Gathering, probably a lot of comic books, sort of a little mini gaming con.
Yeah, pop culture and geek culture pretty much is what it is. So it's
I'm hoping for a lot of cosplay, a lot of cool stuff. Probably costs a couple bucks to get in, but it's worth it. Don't be a cheap ass. Pay your money, help cure cancer, and then look at cosplay and come and talk to us at the same time. So we'll be doing something. We'll be giving out some swag. We'll be doing some competitions and talking to people and asking questions, interviewing people to use on a future podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to arm wrestle people while brushing my teeth with hot sauce.
Ooh, that's a good one. Nice. Yeah. That's a good one. It's Saturday the 12th of March 2016, and it's at the Kern County Fairgrounds in the Arts Building. So I don't believe you'll go in the front entrance. It's going to be on the side,
okay,
where the Arts and Crafts Building is. So
if you're standing in a gate and you're lost, just like private messages.
And there will be a benefit concert. And I'm sure that the people who are putting it on is Paladins Game Castle, Kurt and Cindy, and they are big in the community of doing events and gaming events. So I'm sure it will be wonderful. And there's you know, probably going to be a lot of people there, which I'm hoping for. So.
Yeah, I am too. So come check us out. It should be fun.
I'm going to shout out a couple people just real quick because before we get into it, we got a new fan, Jake Blair, super fan Jake Blair that everybody already knows because he's famous, recruited someone he works with named Alan Jost. I looked him up. You're real handsome, Alan. I just wanted to make sure I said that on the air because I bet you're really excited. and then Facebook, Brandon Stebbins has been chiming in, and I wanted to thank him. I mailed you out some stickers yesterday, so those should be there soon. So thanks for chiming in, man.
And as always, chime in, check us out on all of our social medias, on Facebook, on Twitter. We've got our various Instagrams at Sofa King David, at Sofa King Brad, at Sofa King Brent, and then just at Sofa King Podcast itself. So hit us up, like our pictures, share in the glory that is the Sofa King Podcast.
Yep.
So the Masons.
Well, I have a couple,
a couple more shout outs.
There's a couple things on Twitter. Leafs fan 2.0, which from Canada, I'm assuming is a Maple Leafs fan.
Right.
Hockey. And I'm a Blackhawks fan. So fuck you, Leafs fan. No. Keep listening. You
can, I'm a fan and not being sports fans.
Hockey's not a sport. It's a fight. So
I watch hockey live. But
no, you don't.
I do. I go all the time.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
Condor Town.
Anyway, Tequila Bob. Tequila Bob commented at us. Always Mike Money's on there. Dave S. Our super fan, Josh Meyer. Did I say it right this time? Because I was calling him Mayor last time. He was mad about it.
I don't know.
He got mad at me.
Pretty sure it's John.
And Jared
John,
Mars.
John Mayer.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What, your body's a wonderland.
Yeah, these are all. Yeah. turning the rainforest into a parking lot, you know. So big fuck you to you guys and Freemasons it is.
How's the rainforest a parking lot? What was that about?
I'm turning Wonderland into a parking lot.
You just mixed John Mayer and Counting Crows.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Two different people. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Turn the rainforest into a parking lot.
No. Paved Paradise put up a parking lot.
Paved Paradise. Yeah, that's what I said.
You said the rainforest.
No, you guys misheard me.
I don't know. You made it. That's Brad Taylor's song.
Daycare and turning it into a parking lot.
You're very musical today.
Yeah.
I guess. You're feeling the beat.
Yeah.
Speaking of musical, did you know that
Mozart
was a Mason?
I was trying to take that away from you.
Damn it. You can't take Mozart away from me.
I did, but Brent didn't.
Yeah. So the Masons.
Mozart didn't hear he was a Mason, though. He didn't hear about it.
Didn't he cut his one ear off?
No.
Are getting...
He wrote the Da Vinci Code, didn't he?
Yes. Mozart did write the Da Vinci Code.
He did write the... That's what I thought. And what was the prelude to the Da Vinci Code? The one about the Freemasons?
The one about the Freemasons.
The key to...
Nicolas Cage has something to do with it, I'm sure.
I'm sure he does.
I watched The National Treasure.
Blue and red glasses.
That's The National Treasure is what I watched
to study for the show.
All of my Freemasonry
That's good stuff.
So
good surprisingly stuff. Accurate. Yeah.
So we do want to talk about the Masons. We'll drop some sort of Masonic facts at you, and then I've got a list. I wanted to look into what the specific conspiracies are and weird things. Some of them are true. Some of them are just kind of wacky. But I want to look at some of the conspiracies.
they may be true.
Wacky. Some of them are, even if they are true, they're fucking wacky. Like
what I read, even the Masons have conspiracies. Is what's cool.
I was mad. Yeah, and I was. Yeah, they do within each chapter. Like, they have conspiracies. They differ with what they believe.
Rumors of above the 33rd degree. Yeah,
right. Pretty interesting.
So as a Mason, and this, I mean, from what I've learned, and I myself went to a local the Masonic Lodge here in town and got a tour of it. Not like for research for this episode. I did this.
Did they probe you?
They did not probe me unless they mind wiped me. Huh?
You just ask or what?
Yeah. No, they'll show you around.
Yeah, they showed me around.
Let's do that.
I was watching. Yeah, we can. We were watching Monday Night Raw, and I used to live right across the street from the Masonic Lodge, and a really lame match came on, and my friend Chris and I were like, we should just fucking go over and walk around because there were people going in.
Yeah.
And we walked in, and some dude was there, and he was like, can I help you? And we had spoken to a Mason at a barbecue, a friend of mine's girlfriend's uncle or something, and he gave us a card and said, if you guys are really interested in joining,
you can't just ask.
No, I think you can just ask. I think they'll show you around.
You have to know the handshake.
No, yeah, I know it. I saw it online. It's like this. They have one like this, and then they have the other one where they do the arms, and then they have the other ones where they tickle each other's palms.
That's super easy.
Yeah. They stick their finger up a butt.
Yep.
Happens. But so we walked over there, and the guy was like, hey, can I help you guys? And they were actually about to start some sort of a meeting. And we were like, yeah, we just, you know, we heard about it and we kind of wanted to check it out. He was like, oh, let me show you around. And he showed us around, and it's kind of a crazy, awesome building. I can't imagine how much money it cost. I know the one here in town was built in, I want to say 1926, massive. And you get inside, and like, from what we found out based on our tour, there's 33 degrees. And when you start, like if you do start, you just instantly are shown the first 3 degrees because that's how you get the opening handshakes and all that stuff. But you have to, in order to get another degree, you have to watch a pageant, which is like a play performed in a theater.
Yes.
And at the hall, they have a big ass theater, like not like a movie theater, but like a, like let's put on a play. We have
lights. It's like gaining experience
Shakespeare.
It is gaining experience points. Okay. Yeah. It's like going to a Shakespeare play, and they have pageants that are old, and the members of the lodge learn it and put it on. And then new people will sit and watch, and they tell parables and myths about the life legends of a man named Hiram Abiff, who was the legendary architect of King Solomon's temple.
Right.
Okay. So you watch these things and learn lessons about whatever, who knows? I'm not a Mason, so I don't know what the lessons are. But part of it is, from what the guy told us, is that every lodge doesn't offer every degree.
Right.
So if you like every lodge might, I'm making up these numbers, but let's say you can go up the first 9 at your lodge. And then in order to get the 10th, you might have to go to Fresno or Sacramento or Los Angeles or some other place because they put it on there because they want you to go and meet other Masons and go to other lodges.
I think you do know. I think the further down this rabbit hole of conspiracies we go, the less I trust everybody. I'm looking at you right now, and I feel like you're putting.
He's redirecting everything.
Yeah, I am redirecting.
You know,
so our local Masonic temple, they are called the Green Dragon Masonic Fellowship.
Sweet, dude. Nice. I'm talking to them.
My question is, though,
they're like a block away.
Yeah, you have to have some sort of religion. And from what I understand, it doesn't matter what it is. You just have to believe in a higher power.
I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be their first simulation theory Jihadist.
That's what I was going to ask. I wonder if we could actually join the Masonic temple Jihadism.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. There's the Scottish Rite and there's the York Rite.
Right.
Those are the two main rites. The York Rite, you have to be a Christian. You must swear that you believe in Christian gods, etc. But the Scottish Rite, and I believe both of them are here in town because one of them uses a red lodge and one of them uses a blue lodge.
They are both
here
in town.
The guy could only access the floor that I forget which color. I want to say it was the blue. He let us into the blue because he's not a member of the red, so he couldn't go into that.
Yes.
And I think he was the Scottish Rite. And with the Scottish Rite, you have to swear upon entrance. And apparently the few things I know is that you're blindfolded when you first sign up, on the opening thing, you're blindfolded and taken
in. You go through a ritual.
And you go through a ritual and so on. But they take a vote first. All the members of that area take a vote before you're even given a chance to go through this ritual. And there's even like a recruitment video that I saw a clip of a guy wearing the Masonic apron and everything. And he was saying, if you you will be blindfolded and feel strange things. So don't let that throw you off. Like, that's just part of what you can expect.
Oh, you'll feel them strange things.
But with the Scottish Rite, you have to swear that you believe in a supreme being. And from what I read, they called it the grand architect of the universe. So as long as you say that there is a grand architect of the universe, there is a supreme being, there is a higher power, then you're allowed in the Scottish Rite. But you don't have to be Christian. You could be Jewish. You could be Islamic. You could be, I don't know, the flying spaghetti
just
monster.
Just acknowledge a higher power.
Be a Duatism.
Evil occultist that worship the great and hoary Cthulhu who sleeps under the oceans. You could probably be anything as long as you believe
in a higher power.
In a higher power.
Yeah, you just honestly have to believe that there's something else out there.
Right. So. And from what I've read, one of the things that they swear to do is that every meeting, there is an oath that they will not discuss religion or they will not discuss politics. Those are two things that they will not discuss during the meetings because they don't want it to become a political organization and they don't want it to become a religious organization.
They've separated churches.
They pull a Dave on you. They just go, save it.
Can we talk about Obama? Oops.
They're all, take your robe off. We'll go to Chipotle. We'll talk about Obama. We'll talk not about in the lodge.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, just funny things I found. I know that the main thing in America, the main big Masonic lodge in Washington, D.C., which is the most important one in the States. It's the Supreme Council 33 Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction. And apparently Buzz Aldrin was part of it and actually took their Masonic flag to the moon with him. He didn't plant it there. He brought it back down. But the flag is here. And it did go to the moon if he went to the moon. Listen to another episode if you believe in that. And then the other thing that I read was that it used to be much more popular. There were 4 million Masons in the U.S. in 1950. And they estimate that right now there's only about 1.5 million Masons because it tends to be not a young man's game. And Masons are dying off and not getting replaced as quickly as they're dying off and retiring.
I read some stuff about that. We need to reinvigorate. Yes.
But they do legit stuff. Like, even when I took that tour, they showed us like this. It was actually kind of creepy. I thought I was going to die right there. Like, I thought this was where I was going to be murdered.
I would be a little bit freaked out
because he opened up this door and it was just a room full of crutches, wheelchairs, and prosthetics.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, this is how I die.
Yeah, they're going to chop your leg off, put you in a wheelchair.
This is how I die. But they explained, like, no, if someone's sick, if someone's like can't walk or whatever, and they don't have medical insurance, if they come and contact us, we'll just give them a wheelchair. And I remembered that. And then my mom.
And then they said, don't tell anyone about what you saw, or else you might get sick or you might be injured.
That's right.
And you might need one.
No, and they're legit because my mom got really, really sick and she was going through cancer treatment and she couldn't walk and they needed a wheelchair, but they couldn't afford it. And I told my brother, I was like, you know, and this is, he lives up in Oregon.
You accepted a Mason gift?
I didn't. I told my brother to. I was like, you should go talk to the Masons and see if they'll give you a wheelchair. And I talked to him a week later. He was like, yep, they gave us a wheelchair.
Sweet.
It's like fucking legit.
That's crazy. I'm glad I made my joke early.
They're like a huge philanthropic organization.
Yeah,
like the Shriners.
They're huge.
The Shriners were founded in 1870, and you always see the Shriners parade and they wear their fez hat and drive funny cars and all this stuff. And it was designed to be this lighthearted thing that made the Masons seem less mysterious and more open, and they would give parades and do barbecues. But the Shriners have 22 children's hospitals around the world. And if your child gets sick, a lot of cancers, leukemias, like hardcore shit.
I never thought about that. If you go
to a Shriners hospital, it is 100% free. If you take your child and they accept them to a Shriners hospital and they have to get whatever crazy stuff.
How are they monetized? How do they receive funding? Like, remember
the Masons?
Yeah. Like, they have some kind of tithe.
They do fundraising. They do huge fundraisings.
Yeah. They do huge fundraisers, those parades, et cetera. But the Masons themselves pay dues and, a lot of them pay way more than they need to because of this, right? But it said that they give $2 million a day in philanthropic donations, the whole Masonic organization.
Better than Walmart, man.
Even to the point that when I was talking to the guy, he was like, yeah, and one of the good things about being a Mason is like, if late in your life, you're down on your luck and whatever, and you've been a Mason and you've been like a good Mason, they have like these retirement communities, and he didn't say where they were, but there's retirement communities with medical benefits.
Florida.
And if you're a Mason who's getting older and you don't really have any place, the other Masons just take you in and pay for it. And you've got a place to stay and free food and whatever. And it's like, they hook each other up. They're pretty legit. They hook up sick children.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, if they are ruling the world, they gave my mom a free wheelchair. So thumbs up.
Well, one of the things is like they
it's a fair trade, right?
Yeah, they
yeah, you rule the world. I got a free wheelchair. What the fuck?
I mean, as within any organization, there are secrets. You know, I mean, there are things that normal people don't know, and
they don't hide their secrets.
Yeah, and they don't need to know. You know, I feel. At almost any level, like we don't need to know what's going on inside of the doors. You know what I mean? There are crazy things that people talk about though. Like 14 of the presidents have been Masons, starting with George Washington.
Not an insignificant number.
No. And then also, I mean, you had Roosevelt, and then also George Bush Sr., who actually swore in on the same Bible. I don't think it was the exact same, but it was the same same one that actually George Washington swore in on, which is interesting.
Yeah,
you know?
Benjamin Franklin, Winston Churchill, yeah.
Jackson,
FDR, Gerald Ford, Henry Ford, and of course Mozart, and more importantly, John Wayne and Colonel Sanders.
Yep, Colonel Sanders and Dave from Wendy's.
Oh, was Dave Thomas a Mason?
Yes, he was.
So on the surface, what they claim is it's the largest fraternity. Like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was a thing designed for stonemasons to swap knowledge and so forth, or not. It was an Illuminati something or other. But according to the history books and what they say, that's what it used to be. And then in the 1700s, when the first Grand Lodge opened in London, it became open to what they called gentlemen masons, which is when it became a fraternity and everyone could show up, whether you were in stonemasonry or not. And that's where it sort of got elevated and a bunch of people rose to power. And again, not looking at the conspiracies yet, like on the surface, if this is all that it is, it would actually make sense. If you suddenly have a bunch of people, many of whom are businessmen and whatever, they tend to be older people, and you meet up twice a month at this place, do a ritual, hang out, talk to each other, etc. Inevitably, if you're down on your luck and can't get a job and this guy owns a construction company, you've got a job. And if this guy is a Mason and he's like, you know what, I think I'm going to run for city council, and 10 other Masons are like, hey, I'll give you some money for that because I know you. Not because we have a Mason conspiracy to rule the world, but because we all know each other and fucking hang out. So, I mean, that's the bonus.
It's the natural
of the
progression of things. It's the same way that capitalism begats monopolies. Right. You know what I mean? That's just what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So there's plenty of instances, and we'll look at some later in the episode, where the Masons do get incredibly powerful in different, you know, portions of history or places around the globe or whatever. But even on a local, innocent level, you're going to meet some people that you hang out with and you're going to get hooked up with them. Oh, my car broke down. Oh, I own three body shops. Like, that shit's just going to happen.
One of the things that's notable about that is that religious, and this is why they get thrown into a religious thing, is because a lot of religion churches, the Jehovah's Witnesses and also the Mormons are, that's kind of what they do. If you're Mormon and you go to this church, there's people there that will help you out, you know? So they kind of get thrown into that same thing because, you know, you do have to have some sort of belief to be in it. And then also they do help out their members similar to a church would.
Yeah.
So like that's where that comes
from. But I think it's even more intense because it's a much smaller membership and
they have way more
it's
money.
It's only male. Women in most lodges can't join the Masons. So it's not like an entire congregation of church with a couple of thousand people. It's like you and 100 other dudes, and it's going to end up, you know, giving you different benefits.
That's a sausage fest.
It is a sausage fest. Did anybody find anything concrete about when it started? Because the nebulous, weird
answer. They like to make the claim to fame that it goes all the way back to Egypt. You know what
I mean? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
The whole Temple of Solomon thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's way after Egypt. The Solomon's Temple was supposedly where the Knights of Templar. What is it? The Templar Knights.
See, I don't know. I think Solomon's Temple came before Egypt. I don't fucking.
I think
know.
Brad's good at it's all monetary conversions.
It's all ancient world shit.
Well, Egyptians were some of the first. Actually, I don't know. Now I'm confused.
They did legit stonework.
Yeah,
like stuff we still can't figure out now.
From what I watched, though, that the Solomon's Temple thing was like a big thing. You know, the Knights Templar were Masons, and they protected some sort of secret. And they had these things called knowledge pillars or knowledge stones. And Solomon's Temple, if you don't know,
big pillars in the Masonic temple, like, because he took us in there and there's big pillars.
Yeah. And the what's significant about Solomon's Temple is that it is where they stored the Ten Commandments. So that's why that has a significant meaning, as especially in religion. Solomon's temple is huge because that's where they stored the Ten Commandments. And that's a big, big thing. Right. If you are, you know, a follower of Jesus Christ and God. So the Knights Templar were there to protect that area and the knowledge within. Supposedly the Knights Templar got very rich. So the guys who were actually the Knights,
I know the Knights, it was destroyed in 587 BC. Okay. So, and it was supposedly the first, it says Solomon's Temple, also known as the first temple. And it was destroyed in 587 BC. So wherever that fits in that timeline.
But before that, they, just from watching the documentaries, that the Egyptian masonry was long before that. It even reached that.
Right.
And part of that, they kind of figure from things that were left over from carvings, from hieroglyphics that are in the right. walls. They kind of got a sense that the Masons were there. So I don't know. Like,
and I do know, I mean, one thing that I did look up that seemed like legit and like outside of mythology is that one thing that the Knights Templar did was they protected Christian pilgrims who were traveling into the Holy Lands in order yes. to go to holy sites.
They would guide them through. They were guides to bring them in.
Right. Yes. And I know they were involved in the different crusades and they were yes. killing a lot of Muslims and doing all of that sort of stuff. So they probably did have vast treasures just because yeah. the Islamic cities, I mean, all the stuff down there, I mean, they were very wealthy, you know, yeah. well-educated cities. And if the Knights were sacking them, they were walking out with a whole lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
And with the Knights, they were said to be monks and knights. So they would pray and they would do monk things, but they were also knights,
like fighting knights.
Yeah, and there was a difference between regular monks and regular knights. They were the mixture of
they
both
were in the middle.
So kind of a weird and the funny thing is though about the Masons, like we discussed earlier, is that they at each place where they gather at each hall, they all have their own beliefs. Like they all have their own conspiracy theories about what happened in the past, or you know what I mean? Like
there's the Southern Baptist Masons.
Exactly. There is no just like this is the belief across the board of what happened.
No, and I think a lot of it deals with different sort of origins that they look back to. Actually, right here, by the way, the Knights Templars were dissolved in 1312
yes.
under Pope Clement the Fifth. But interestingly, there's another Pope Clement the 12th that in 1738 made a decree against Masons and Catholicism, and a lot of Catholics don't like Masons.
And by dissolved, you mean there was a crazy conspiracy to send out like assassins and kill them all at the same time in different places. What I read.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know. I just
they
know
killed all the Knights.
Well, they're
supposedly
so much
went into hiding and became the Masons. Sure.
Yeah, and the problem with, and we discussed this off the show, is the problem with these types of conspiracies and these types of groups is there's so much information.
Yeah.
That it's hard to gather. I mean, what just on the, one yeah. thing, like, no, like you could talk 3 hours on just the Knights Templar.
Yeah.
You know,
and there's
what I mean?
So many sources that all contradict each other. And I think that's part of the different rites, the Scottish versus the York versus whatever. Yeah. I think because realistically, I mean, another thing that I read was that what they would consider modern day masonry started in the 1500s in Scotland. The way it's practiced yeah. to this day started in the 1500s. But again, if the Masons existed before that, but they practiced different rituals or they weren't formalized or whatever, it might go all the way back to Egypt and the Knights yeah. Templar, but I would imagine that they would have been radically different in yeah. each period of history. And I would think that different groups might, you know, this rite might say we really started in 1500 and this rite might say, no, we started in 1312
yeah.
or, you know,
it's
so
just what they believe. Yeah.
It's just what they believe. So I think they're all, so I think when you read like legit articles that say, you know, based on all these Masonic books or this Mason that I interviewed, they started here. And then you read another one that says something different.
Yeah.
I think it's because the different Masons even believe different origins based on the group that they're a part of.
Yeah, and that's true, because if you look at Washington, D.C., a lot of the I mean, obviously, George Washington and some of our first presidents were all Masons, and a lot of the buildings and stuff were built by them.
Sure.
And they also have similarities to that in Egypt.
Yeah. I watched the whole thing with the guy who showed like the layout of Washington versus like Egypt and where like cemeteries are, where these like the statue of Abraham Lincoln seated in the chair. Like they put it side by side with those giant statues of the Egyptian statues of the pharaohs seated. And I was like, oh, weird. I never thought about that. And they have the obelisk and everything. And it, like when they put it side by side in comparison, it really does reflect like the
And a lot of that comes because from those masons who built all those things, that's where they got their heritage from. That's where they believe that the masonry started. So
yeah, it was creepy. Like the I won't look at the Abraham Lincoln seated. What is that called? Where's that at?
The Lincoln one.
Yeah, Lincoln Memorial.
Monument. Like when you look at that and they put it next, I was like, oh wow, that looks like they were mimicking that.
Right. Yeah, the pharaoh sitting in the chair.
Chair thing.
And they all. I mean, it's like, you know, the whole DC thing. I mean, you look at a lot of buildings, whether it's the Capitol building or the steps to the Supreme Court. It's like there are 33 steps leading up to the front doors.
Yeah. Right.
Like there's all this Masonic symbology. Like when they built the big memorial, which is like the Washington Monument, just a giant obelisk, which is a Masonic symbol. All the way down to the fact that there's like 33 capstones, and they ended up getting all of the stones for that building were donated by people from around the nation, and a bunch of them were donated by Masons, and all the ones that were donated by Masons are at like the 330 feet up or some like I just all these crazy 33s going on. Well, but that's that's the nature of a lot of stuff.
And those are all significant things for Masons. Like they built it. Those are their they're not even secret because everybody knows about them. That's one thing about like a where they call it a secret society or whatever. Like, yes, every organization, even businesses, have secrets that they don't want other people to know.
Right.
And that's their right. You know, the Masons, they have secrets, yes, but they're very open about what they're doing. And if you, you know, you watch documentaries or you read things, like they all have their own, their different thing and their different goal. So it's kind of a weird,
and to be honest, I've thought from time to time about becoming a Mason.
Yeah.
And the only reason I want to become a Mason is because I want to know the secrets.
And you don't get to know
that's like
secret,
a massive PR thing.
But
like
here's,
even one of the videos I watched, and it showed a bunch of young cats, like 10 younger guys that are in college, and they all joined the Masons. And they were like, why did you guys join? And every single one of them was because I want to know the secrets.
Yeah. Like and it's the reason you don't want to join a church is because you already know the secret.
Right.
You've decided against that.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it. Like if you decide that's your thing and you want to go do that, then it's there for you. But I don't want to join because I already know the secret. It's the same thing in Scientology. We talked about in the Scientology episode. There's a secret and everybody wants to pay to find out what that secret is. And then they find it and they quit. But that's
here's what trips me out though. This is what genuinely trips me out about the Masons. Like in Scientology, you get to the ultimate secret and it's fucking Lord Xenu, you know, 75 million years ago. Yeah. And then tons of people get to that point and say, this is bullshit. And they quit the organization and they leave. Like in general, Masons who get to the secret don't ever say what the secret is or quit.
Right.
So what the fuck is the secret? Like if it was some wackadoo thing but it's like, what is the secret that, I mean, no one talks about it. There are no examples ever in the literature of high level Masons.
And that's what makes it great.
That's what makes it fucking great.
I listened to
an
interview though of a guy who finally achieved 33 degree Mason.
Yeah.
And he was talking about what a letdown it was. Like it sounded really weird. So he went through all this, worked all these years and it's like kind of rare. Like you can
he
get still
to didn't tell you what it was though.
Lots of people get to 32. But for them to offer you the 33rd is kind of a deal. Like
big deal.
Everyone votes on it. Like, yeah.
Right.
So he gets voted or offered the 33rd, but you have to accept it. You don't have to accept it. You can stay at 32 or something weird. So he talked over with his wife and said, like, should I accept it? She's like, absolutely. This is what you've been working for. You're finally there. Can you believe they offered it to you? So he says, okay, I'm going to do it. And it's like a 3-day event of being like initiated into it. And there's a whole ceremony and he has to go to Washington and his wife can't participate. So he goes by himself and he shows up to the place. And he said, it was kind of like, it was a crazy building. The building's grand and amazing. And
I've seen the building. Yeah. It is crazy.
And he said he gets there and like he walks in, there's like a receptionist and she was like, hi, you're here to get your 33rd degree. Like it was like just some weird, like, hey, do you have a room for two?
Yeah.
Like
but because nobody goes in there unless.
No, there was a lobby full of dudes waiting for their 33rd degree.
Oh, wow.
They had appointments that day for their 33rd degree. And she's like, okay, well, there's a minimum donation of X amount of dollars, which was some outrageous amount that he was not informed of or prepared for. But because it's like, you're not going to say no to the 30-30. You've been working for 27 years. Like,
right.
You're going to do this. And he was like, I don't have my checkbook. And he looked at the other guys and they were all like, yeah, like what the fuck just happened? Like, it was like some very Scientology type thing where yeah. they got you all the way there and then they asked for a crazy check and he had to like go to the bank and get the money or something to pay for his 33rd degree.
Yeah.
He said it was very weird. I mean, not that the Mason stuff's not weird, but yeah. that it was
the money
it,
thing is definitely was, weird. If he's 32nd degree
and he thinks it's weird, then something's weird about
it. Well, he said the first thing was they went into an interview and he said he went in and the first thing they said was, do you believe in God or something? And he said, yes. And they said, what religion are you? And he said, I'm a Christian. And he asked them if they were born again or something. He said, we're not here to talk about that. Like something, something, thank you. And then he left. And when another guy came out, he said, did they ask you if you were a Christian or what religion you were? And he was like, yeah, they asked me. He's like, what'd you tell him? He said, I told him, hell no. And I don't ever want to be. They told me I'm going higher. Have a nice day. And like walked out or something. There was like some creepy thing to it where the whole time you have to acknowledge a higher power, but they didn't actually want him to be a Christian. Yeah. He answered differently than the other guy. And he still got his 33rd degree, but that dude got some new handshake and moved on to level 34 or something.
34 right. degree.
Well, I mean, the one thing about it that I immediately put on conspiracy hats and even wonder, did any of that shit happen? Like, is he just trying to put Masons on blast because he's unhappy yeah. with it? Or even for that matter, is he like working for the Masons to like lie about what happened when he got his 33rd degree? But the fact that if it was true and if there were a bunch of people in the lobby, that doesn't, to me, like make it suddenly seem like not a big deal, because realistically, if you had to do interviews and do all this stuff, like you would probably be like, these are the 3 days a year that we indoctrinate 33rd degree sure. Masons because yeah. we have to have a whole ceremony.
Right.
So yeah. odds are you're going to invite everybody on this
yeah,
day.
He said yeah. there were ex-presidents there. There were like very high ranking like officials and whatnot, but he said they didn't really like fraternize with him. He didn't get to meet him or anything, but he saw them there and he said it was just kind of like a big crazy. Letdown yeah. really based on what he had thought the whole time.
Well, but I yeah. also, I also think again, secrets within secrets. I think if you're like in the, you know, Masonic chapter in fucking Duluth and they say you're ready for 33rd degrees and then you get to Washington and they're like, give this fucker his 33rd degree and have him get out of here because he's yeah. like, he has nothing to do with what yeah. we're doing. Like, I'm glad you're doing it. Keep doing it. Like,
yeah.
you're awesome. Here's the handshake. But you don't really know what the fuck's going on because you're not part of like a yeah. big chapter. You're not part of yeah. the DC thing, whatever.
And but, you're a Christian. Get out
but
of here.
What, yeah, exactly. Which kind of makes it more awesome. But when I was in DC doing my research, there was a there's a George Washington Masonic, I forget what they call the George Washington. It's not a Masonic temple. It's a George Washington
it's
Masonic
like
memorial.
Yeah.
And it's outside of DC. It's like the last stop on one of the metro lines. And I went out there and it's just this little bullshit stop. There's nothing there but like a business park and a bad deli. And then like right off the stop, there's like this huge hill, like massive hill, in otherwise flat land. And there's this beautiful building right on top of it. And you get up there and there's a bunch of flags and all kinds of stuff. You walk up and you go in there and it's unbelievable. Like these beautiful murals painted on the wall of like George Washington and all these other members of the founding fathers, like talking to Indians, and they're all wearing like their Masonic gear. There's this massive, unbelievable statue of George Washington carved in the middle, like all this stuff. And you walk in and that's all that there is. There's a giant statue. There's a bunch of gorgeous murals. There's an elevator and there's just a cat sitting at a table near the elevator. And there's really no one there. It's not really a tourist yeah. attraction. No one has a reason to go there. I was just really fucking curious.
And so for you youngsters out there, when Dave says cat, he just means a guy.
That's right. It's not
no,
really
no
a
feline,
cat.
No meowing.
So I walk over and
I almost called him dad. Yeah. He makes me call him daddy sometimes. So.
I do. So he walks up to me and looks really fucking bored and he shakes my hand and he says, yeah, well, you know, take a look at the murals and the statue and, you know, stay in the air conditioning for a minute. Because it was pretty warm outside. And then he just went back and sat down. Like, go fuck yourself. Like,
you know what just happened, right?
I knew exactly what happened.
No, you didn't shake his hand right.
Exactly. No,
I didn't. You just met a Knights Templar.
I didn't shake his hand right, and he told me to fuck myself. Yeah. It's basically what happened. Because I looked around the paintings, and probably about 15 minutes later, right when I was getting ready to leave, this guy comes in, probably in his 50s, and he had his wife, and he had like a couple of kids with him that were like in their teens.
I think
and
you mentioned this on the
I might have mentioned it, but yeah. he walked in, and the same dude who didn't give me the time of day walked up, looked just as bored, shook his hand, and then as soon as he shook his hand, just walked him to the elevator, didn't say anything else, put the guy on the elevator, unlocked it with a key, sent him up, and then the family just kind of looked at paintings and stood down there with me, or took him down. It was a giant hill. It might have been underground. It might have been above, but whatever the fuck was going on there, I didn't give him the handshake. Yeah. I didn't give him the high sign. But yeah. there's a lot of shit in DC that deals with Masons.
Yeah, I say a handshake's kind of a dangerous thing because like you could accidentally just do the handshake. Like, especially because
the handshake looks kind of weird, like female limp wrist, like pinch.
They have one of those. Yeah. They have the other one where your thumbs go together.
I'm just going to start doing that to people, like thumb wrestles, random thumb wrestles. Just
like you go to handshake them, and like they're trying to shake your hand regular, and you're like, excuse me, sir.
Sorry.
Oops. Yeah, back there.
But here's the thing. Did you guys hear about Captain William Morgan?
Sounds like a whiskey.
Captain Morgan.
It does. Captain William. I just said William. Captain William Morgan. Captain William Morgan was supposedly a veteran of the War of 1812, right? And in 1829, he was dragged away from his house by a group of supposedly Masons, and he was screaming murder, murder, murder over and over at the top of his lungs. Yes. They dragged him into a carriage and they rode off with him, and no one ever saw him again.
Yep.
Okay. Now the backstory is, and this is pretty awesome, this was in 1829, September 11th, 1829 is when he got abducted. We'll never forget that date. In 1826, right around the same time, just to let you know how much power they had, they estimated that half of all public offices in New York were held by Masons. So half of the elected officials in the state of New York were Masons. So this is one of those periods that I mentioned earlier where the Masons
seems
do
like they're so powerful. It would be like it would be more than that. Doesn't it seem that way? I mean, that's half's impressive, I guess.
Half's really impressive. And half is also
the other half, like, was Scientology, though.
Well, the other half was like that bullshit job that doesn't really do anything. Oh, we're electing you and you're the guy that gets to count numbers all day.
Can you be a Scientologist and a Mason somehow?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, the ultimate.
I know you can't be a Mason and a Rosicrucian at the same time.
What's a Rosicrucian?
Yeah, the Rosicrucians are different. They're kind of like the Masons, but they're
more
opposite.
Magical.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I read something real quick too.
We have a Rosicrucians thing here in town.
We do.
Also.
Yeah.
The restriction of no political or religious talk in side of the lodges is only an American thing.
Is it really?
Yeah, in the UK you can do it. Yeah, or anywhere else in the world other than
I know
States.
In America anyway, you can't drink. In the Masonic Lodge, there's no alcohol allowed, and it's why the Elks Lodge started, because a bunch of Masons who wanted to drink said,
prohibition,
fuck you, and they started the Elks Lodge so they could drink at their meetings.
Oh, that's
instead of do that. But anyway, so what happened was, and the reason I thought of this right now is this guy, William Morgan, learned from a Mason different facts and handshakes of Masons, and he convinced the Masons in his town, because he had recently moved there, that he was a Mason, and they just let him in. And he learned all this shit about the Masons, and he published a book called The Illustrations of Masonry in 1825, and it talked about how corrupt they were, how much power they held in New York City. He just like put them on blast with this book, and a couple of years later, because he kept putting them on blast all over the place in a local newspaper, because he was friends with this other guy who was a
businessman. That's a big flaw in your security system if it's a handshake gets you in, you know what I mean?
And it got him in, and so he gets dragged away because of a debt that he owed for $2.86. He gets dragged away, and he's never, his wife never hears from again, his children, he's gone, like dead, gone, dead. Missing. What? So public outrage happens, they know the people who dragged him away. It's a small town. They recognize him, and they know that they're all Masons. There's no getting away from that. So they took them to court for abducting him and for all this stuff. And the Masons pooled all their money together and had bomb-ass lawyers, so nothing was really sticking. But the public outcry got so huge that a couple of them did do some jail time. And because of this, for the first time ever in America in 1827, a third party of American politics formed, and it was flat out just called the Anti-Masonic Party.
Wow.
And it was a political party that was there to break the power that the Masons had over government on the East Coast. This was 5 months after Morgan went missing. President John Quincy Adams' party, it wasn't Republican or Democrat. It was some crazy Republican Democrat Whig party or some weird shit. But the John Quincy Adams' party put 12 legislators into New York, but the anti-Masons elected 15 because that's how much sway they had on the votes. They elected 8 congressmen for the nation in the next couple of years as well. And they even had a presidential candidate, but he lost to Andrew Jackson in 1831. So because this guy got kidnapped and because of
isn't that when that party happened where they had to drag everybody out on the grass because they're messing up the furniture? Remember? You don't remember that?
I do not remember
that. Wow, really? I remember something you guys don't. All right, go ahead. It was prohibition.
But anyway, that's right. But it lasted for 25 years, this anti-Mason movement. 100 anti-Mason newspapers were published. Masonic lodges were regularly looted by like hordes of people who were drinking and pissed off. Because basically this guy put on blast in this book, this is how much power they have. This is who they are by name. You know, this guy won the election and this guy won the election. It's probably because this guy paid for it and just put them on blast because of them being, you know, having all this power, and everybody was pissed off, especially like this was the first generation after the revolution. So everybody was pissed off that there was now this like secret group running things and it wasn't really a democracy. So people were really fucking pissed off and really kind of clamped it down. It lasted for about 25 years. And in those 25 years, the Masonry went from 40,000 from 100,000 members to 40,000 members just in those couple of years because there was such a strong
anti-Mason sentiment. No Netflix and cheeseburgers, and they were distracted.
That's exactly right.
Droning out in front of some. But so the, I mean,
they owned New York basically in the 1800s, and this one guy infiltrated them.
I'm just impressed how he like pulled the "catch me if you can" like walked up, shook his hand, walked in, and played the game. Like, where are you from?
There's a few things I wanted to talk about, and we mentioned the first one earlier, which is Albert Pike and the Three World Wars. You mentioned that was it. Which one of you guys mentioned it?
Definitely.
I mentioned it.
So I found that interesting because this was in 1871. Yep. And he was a, what was he? He was a leader.
He was a Confederate general.
He was a Confederate general, Albert Pike. And he wrote letters to the Italian revolutionary leader.
Yep.
Is that who it was?
And his name was Giuseppe Mazzini. Doesn't get more Italian than that.
The interesting thing about what he said, and I find interesting, is that the Three World Wars would overthrow the czars to build a fortress of atheistic communism.
Yes.
And you think that's crazy. But he outlines that the First World War would basically overthrow, what is it?
Russia. I mean, he basically said in this letter, supposedly he said that they would overthrow the czars and build an atheistic communism, which is what happened during the Russian Revolution. It wasn't really the First World War, but that was what he said would be the first.
And then the second one would basically put the fascists against the Zionists.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
And then the third one, which I don't know if we've had it yet or not, which I would assume not, because it says that it will put Islam against the Zionists.
And that the end of that would be that Lucifer would rise to rule the world.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
That is interesting. You have me till Lucifer.
Here's the trippy thing about this letter though. So supposedly this letter was in the British Museum of London, according to all the accounts of it. And again, it was written by a U.S. Confederate general in 1871.
Yes.
But it turns out that the letter wasn't written by him. It was a hoax. And it was written by a guy named, if I can find his name, a French journalist named Gabriel Jogan Paget. I'm sure I'm not saying his name right.
I think you said it beautifully. Fancy. I wouldn't have even attempted that.
But, so people are like, oh, well, then that's a big fat sham, you know, like these predictions. Like obviously, he wrote it after he made it and so forth.
Yeah.
But that guy wrote in the 1890s. So that still makes it kind of creepy. Yeah. Like, A, it was, I mean, it was a guy who did, like, well, I mean, it was a guy who did smear campaigns against the, like, this guy, this journalist. He wrote under two pen names. He wrote under a pen name called Leo Taxil and another one called Dr. Batil. And he wrote to newspapers all over the place spreading stuff about Masons that were anti-Masonic all through France. And they basically, the British Museum confirmed, no, that letter wasn't written. It was a forgery written by this guy, faking that it was written by the Confederate general. But nevertheless, it was written in the 1890s and kind of predicted these events to happen.
And what I mean, if you knew that the Masons were stuffing people in cars to never be seen again and killing people, like, you're going to use an alias, I would assume. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't blame him. So the second, what do you have about God's Banker? Do you know about him?
I don't think
his name is Lucio Gili. I'm not as good as French as you. I'm not as good as French as you. But he was actually, his nickname was God's Banker. He was actually, he worked at Franco Banquio or something. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was Banquio.
Banquio Franquio.
It's a me.
It's a me, Mario. I'm here at the Franquio Banquio.
We just lost three Italian fans just totally fell off. Did. Unsubscribed.
Yeah, good.
And now they're going to kill us or make us a salami sandwich. So,
what it did. Oh my God. It's Banco Ambrosia. And they were basically the Vatican's bank. So he was nicknamed suitingly God's Banker. He was actually found hanging from a bridge.
Oh, I did see something about that.
Yeah. I can't pronounce these names. They suck.
Doesn't matter.
So he was found hanging from a bridge with bricks in his pocket. Which,
was this in Rome?
Yes. Okay. And basically, they basically linked Masonic things to this death because he had bricks in his pocket for one, which linked the Masons type thing, which obviously weighed him down for the hanging.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to make the hanging more efficient.
Pretty sure gravity would have done the job on that one.
Yeah, but a lot of times if you got hung, you just kind of, it didn't break your neck, so you squirmed around for 20 minutes slowly dying.
So they're being nice?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, so he was basically, it was a huge scandal that was all over the newspapers and stuff, that basically the Masons were put in bad light for this murder of this banker, basically. And if they are satanic, they're going against the Vatican, which is great.
And the Vatican was going against them. I mean, the Vatican has decrees against the Masons.
Yeah, so there was that. And then there's also, which in my Illuminati, in the Illuminati episode, I said that I think that the Illuminati and the Masons are two different groups going, competing for the New World Order.
You did say, I believe you said that in the Denver episode, not the Illuminati.
Did I? One or the other. I believe that they are two separate entities, because a lot of times the Illuminati gets blended in with the Masons and you don't really know if they're part of it or what. But in one of the conspiracy theorists, or I mean, you could call it that, I guess, the conspiracy theories, is that the Illuminati infiltration of the Masonic lodges is what kind of is destroying the Masons from the time of these murders on to these days. Now they've kind of stopped, and it's kind of just a fraternity type thing is what it on the surface seems to be. But there was the Bavarian Illuminati infiltrated a bunch of the European Freemason lodges and were beginning to become members to get inside and go up in the ranks, basically to create sabotage within the Mason.
Oh, that's crazy.
Fraternity. So pretty interesting stuff.
So did you guys run into much about the Masons worshiping the devil?
No, but I have a small thing about the Nazis. Did you guys see the Germany thing, like concentration camps and Masons?
No. Let me do this devil thing real quick, and then we'll get to the Nazis.
Right. I don't have a lot.
The devil worship thing, because a lot of people say that the Masons worship the devil.
Which goes along with, you know, do you believe in a God? And you say, yes. You say, are you Christian? Okay, then yes. Get the fuck out of here. Like,
so the theory isn't just that they worship the devil. The theory is that they worship a specific demonic entity named Baphomet. And I've heard that a lot. There's actually, did you guys ever see Chick Tracks when you were you know, like there's this crazy guy named Chick, and he writes these little religious things about like Dungeons and Dragons is the devil's toy and Halloween is evil.
No.
And,
where do you come across these at?
Religious wackadoos buy them in bulk and like leave them around at like bus stations, so you'll pick them up and read
them. Just and like you're a like, piece what of paper, hell? Like planting propaganda in your head.
Yeah, it's like a little mini comic book that's like maybe an inch and a half tall. And
why do we not do
wide.
This?
They're fucking awesome. They're so awesome. They are so awesome. I can't, like, they are the most whack job Christian weirdo things. When I was growing up in the 80s, like somebody in my apartment complex used to leave them all over the place. And it was like, all these things are sins and television's a sin and cartoons are sins and the devil. There's a great one called Dark Dungeons. That's about playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I have
and,
a fantastic you know, you
I remember all that thing and, of like people killing their parents for playing play Dungeons and Dragons.
But there,
what are those books called again?
Chick, spelled just like it sounds. Chick Tracks.
Oh man, I got ideas.
They're fucking fantastic. But you can still order them. I bought a bunch of them a couple of years ago, several years ago now, for a friend of mine's Halloween party, because I bought all the ones that said that Halloween is for the devil and that you worship the devil if you dress up on Halloween. And we gave them out at Halloween. So that was cool.
You're so much cooler than us. You went in the Masonic temple, like you got the wheelchair thing going
but
on.
But anyway. So this whole idea of the devil and the Chick Track was the first place I ever saw it, because it specifically says they worship Baphomet, all this stuff, and they point to this evidence. And one of the big thing is that there was a statue of George Washington that used to be in the Capitol Rotunda. Now it's at a Smithsonian Museum, and it was carved in 1908. And it's kind of like ridiculous, like the cover of like a romance novel at Albertsons or something. He's like all buffed out and he like doesn't have a shirt on.
It's Fabio.
Like he's got his fucking white wig and no shirt, and he's all yoked.
Yeah.
And he's like his one hand is like up in the air in like a little Pope gesture, and his other hand is like holding this sword
shocker
down in front
of the shocker in there.
And then, but there's this comparison between this occultist picture drawn by a guy named Elphas Levis, who drew Baphomet. What? And it's the
hold on, say that name again.
Elphas.
Not Elvis.
Not okay, Elvis. E-L-P-H-A-S.
I picture.
That's the picture. That's it right there. So
no, Keebler Elf, Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello.
With Levi's.
Yeah, Levi.
With Levi's on.
So Side Elvis burns. Costello in Levi's drew a picture of Baphomet in the same exact position. And everybody said that they carved this thing for the Masons because they worship Baphomet and all this stuff. And again, like it took off. It was put in all these newspapers. All these people started to say, and this was in the 1890s, and it was spread all through France that the
Baphomet has perky breasts. Breasts,
he does have
perky
breasts.
I mean, yes.
And by I'm the way, intrigued. When you look at the idea of a goat head being a pentagram, it is like they get the fact that it's a goat head, because if right. you take that classic picture of Baphomet and put it in a pentagram, the horns and the ears and the chin make up a pentagram. Anyway, but again, it turns out through research that the French journalist Gabriel Jogan Paget wrote all of this stuff, made it up, like just connected these weird dots and started smearing the Masons and saying they worship the devil, they worship Baphomet, they're satanic. This is the same guy that wrote that other letter. So this guy just had like some heart on about bringing down the Masons. So this whole idea that the Masons are satanic was something that was spread by this journalist who hated Masons.
And the problem with that is like you can't argue against it or get it, like the smear campaign of someone that already has a reputation for being secretive or evil or something. Once something gets out there, if you don't know the origin, especially back then when you can't necessarily trace it down,
right.
once the rumors get started, it's
right.
really hard to kill something like
right.
that.
And especially, then if you,
yeah,
even if you ask them, it's like, you know, some guy that's
they're
been
lying.
A Mason forever. Yep. And you're like,
they're
you're like, hey, what's
you.
This thing? And they're like, I can't really talk about it. Yeah. Like that's so, pretty much
yes.
the end of that.
Yeah. And on the back of the dollar bill, it has the triangle with the all seeing eye,
right.
which is related back to Egypt and all that stuff. On the documentary I watched, they said that it's not really, they said that it just happened to be that way. But there's the Latin sayings on the back of it, where if you circle the letters M, A, S, O, and N, it creates the star, the pentagram,
ooh.
Basically.
That's not a pentagram. It's like a Star of David or something.
Well,
it's two inverted triangles, whatever star.
It's it's a weird
six-pointed star.
Yeah, it's a six-pointed star. Like,
yeah,
it's a weird
Yeah, that's
weird
not the Baphomet pentagram, but
no.
that's definitely a...
So, but it spells out Mason and it makes the star, which, yeah. So that's kind of one of the conspiracy theories out there too. But you have to understand that the Masons did found the United States pretty much.
A lot of the founding fathers were Masons.
Yes. And they said that there was nine up to at least 50, Masons that signed the Declaration of Independence, which is interesting.
Yeah. Also, 13 of the 39 people who signed the Constitution were Masons, and then it was a different amount for the Declaration of Independence.
And Samuel Adams and Paul Revere were two of the three men who did who started the Boston Tea Party. Were both Masons,
and that's and that was where everybody in Boston teabagged each other.
Yes, yes,
very famous.
And they filmed it, and you can watch it on YouTube.
Very famous.
Yes.
So, what'd you have about the Nazis, Brent?
I just flipped my page on that, looking for other notes. Yeah, apparently, little known thing, apparently Hitler hated Masons. You would think they would be in cahoots or something somehow with that type of power, but between 80,000 and 200,000 Freemasons were killed under the Nazi regime.
Damn.
Yeah, they actually had like an identifying marks. They were...
Well, they did that with everybody they didn't like.
Yeah, they put inverted red triangles on Masons in concentration camps.
That's crazy.
I had
never heard that.
Yeah, 80 to 200,000.
I mean, I know they did gypsies and homosexuals and obviously Jews. I mean, Jews were the bulk of it, but I know they also targeted other groups. I didn't know they targeted Masons. Yeah,
Masons were devil worshippers and the Germans were Christians.
That'll put a hurt on your lodge meeting. 200,000.
That will put a hurt on
a chunk.
It. Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's
crazy.
It's interesting though. The Masons are all over the world.
I say we go
a
over
lot
there.
Of them in
that's
high
couple
power
blocks
positions.
Away. We go over there and see if we can handshake it in, man.
I'm Instagramming from there for sure. Yeah,
from there. So did you? Another big famous conspiracy. I mean, we're just at this point. We're looking at some of the weird conspiracies surrounding Masons. One of the biggest ones. Is the one about Jack the Ripper. Did you guys run into that?
Yeah, I looked up the stuff. There's really not a whole lot to it. It's just that he was, it was basically a Masonic plot because the who was it, the prince or the whatever prince. Was fucking prostitutes. And
so it came out in a book by a guy named Stephen Knight in 1976 called Jack the Ripper, The Final Solution. And there was this comic book and a film based on the comic book by Alan Moore called From Hell that was based on, I think Johnny Depp was in it. Was he in?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Anyway, the whole thing, and I don't know all the theory, but I know one of the theories here was that Prince Albert Victor married someone named Annie Elizabeth Cook, who was a working class girl, and he was getting crazy and getting syphilis and doing all kinds of weird shit. I don't know the details. I don't know if he was killing the
hookers. By working class girl, you mean hooker, right?
It just said working class girl. The article did not say hooker. There was and the reason the thing was called From Hell is and this is true. The first killing by Jack the Ripper, right after the killer, there was a guy named George Lusk who, ran the Whitechapel Vigilance Committee that was looking, you know, for crimes and so forth. And he knew he would be investigating him, whoever the killer was. And he wrote a letter and the letter was sent with half of a human kidney.
Ooh.
And the kidney
that's
a
weird part, not a finger.
It was one of the organs that was missing from the dead hooker from the first Jack the Ripper killing, because he would kill, he would remove organs. But the letter read, quote, from hell, that like at the very top, it says from hell, which is where Alan Moore got the name of his book from. And this is a real letter, from hell, Mr. Lusk, and full of crazy misspellings. I'll just read it as best I can.
As an English professor, you're going crazy over there.
Mr. Lusk. Sorry, maybe
a
I should
period
read this.
Does not
should,
go there.
I should read this in a British accent.
Okay,
I suspect. Okay. From L.
That's Scottish.
Mr. Lusk, sore. I send you half the kidney I took from one woman. Para solved it for you t'other piece. I friend ate it, was very nice. May send you the bloody knife that took it out if only you wait a while longer. Signed, catch me when you can, Mr. Lusk.
I'm pretty sure that was a retarded pirate.
Well, whatever.
I'm
but
dying
I was
I'm,
I didn't want anyone listening to think I was Jack the Ripper, so I wanted
oh,
to put
yeah,
on,
we gotta rule
I wanted
that out.
To put on an accent.
I'm dying inside right now.
That was the letter that was sent. But again, if I'm talking about conspiracies, and again, it's a really weird conspiracy, but it deals with the Masons murdering these hookers in the name of Jack the Ripper in order to cover up indiscretions from the Prince of England.
Prince Albert Victor. Yeah. And supposedly it was one of the things I saw was Sir William Gull. He was the doctor,
mm-hmm.
supposedly to the Queen's side or something, like uh-huh. her most trusted associate, who was actually doing the killings. That's why he would remove body parts and he knew how. So that's one of the theories, which is kind of weird. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird. We should
nobody
do a
knows.
Show on
yeah.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper's still alive, probably.
There. I think he is. He's immortal from eating half their kidneys.
Him and Walt Disney just had dinner together.
They did.
Like they unfroze themselves
on Tupac Island.
Yep.
And then my favorite, I went to a batshit website called theforbiddenknowledge.com, and he talks about the Masons, and these are just a couple of quick sound bites. But this is the type of conspiracy theories that are coming out now that you will be flooded with if you look for Masonic conspiracy theories. He said that in Europe, occult leaders were told by their familiar spirits in the 1740s that America was the new Atlantis, and that was where they had to go to assume global leadership and establish a new world order. And then he said that Pierre L'Enfant, who in 1791 was the one who did DC, filled it full of Luciferic and occult symbology in the street plans and filled the streets full of goat heads.
Yeah, and I believe that.
So the familiar spirits in the 1740s told all the occult leaders in Europe that they needed to go to America, and that's where they founded yeah. the Masons, even though they didn't found the Masons. So
yeah,
I say we start the three Masons. So the Freemasons, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's pretty like restrictive as far as
the
like
three
scalability.
Masons. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just us.
Right.
Like, we have to each do a really good job. We're going to have to like, pick up some workload, you know, because
that's
the three
work.
Masons.
That's just way too. We'd be like the Pep Boys.
Yeah, I'm
well, we can right? have our own chick booklets, though. Those things are going to be awesome.
Yeah, we can do those. Those are pretty awesome.
We already have.
So what's the final upshot? Would you like, are you guys genuinely curious about, I mean, do you think the secrets are legit? Do you think they're power brokers? Do you think it's just a frat? Do you think it's just a place where old cats can sit around and hang out with each other? Like, would you guys want to be a Mason? Like, what do you guys think?
I think a small percentage of people actually know, like even inside Masons, I think like they don't know, you know what I mean? I think that maybe there is a small percentage that makes it through, and the chances of getting through that to what the payoff is not, I don't know. I'd rather the black helicopter just come get me, tell me what's up with everything and kill me. Yeah. I don't want to go through 26 years of the Elks Lodge whiskey handshakes to try to get to the top. You know what I mean? To only have to write a check that apparently was outrageous, to not get to shake the ex-president's hand that's schmoozing over at the punch bowl and didn't acknowledge me, even though I'd spent 26 years trying to be a Freemason.
Maybe though it's like Scientology, where they knew you had the money already. So they're like, hey, you know, this is what your amount is. When John Kerry over there had to pay way more.
Right. Yeah, that could be the case. Like everybody there might have had a totally different dollar amount that they were being told.
You don't know.
Kind of gangster just to have the sticker on my car, but I could probably get one on eBay or something.
I really wanted to get a ring now, like just my pinky ring with the
eBay
Masonic
again.
Thing.
I bet we can do it.
Yeah, you can find them. There's places that sell them.
I was almost disappointed because I was like, man, you got to believe in God to be a Mason. And now I'm like, man, I almost have a chance. Like they're like worshiping Lucifer and stuff. Like I'm in for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 33 and a half. Like
oh,
I'm
your
going.
Age can get you.
No, not age. I'm talking about degrees.
Oh,
degrees.
How old are you?
Yeah. 33
and a half.
And a half. I'll be 34 next month.
Oh, so I was right. Oh yeah.
Oh shit. I almost forgot one, like my favorite, weird Mason thing that I saw.
Jim Henson was
what? Gay butt sex.
No. This was just
crooked vaginas.
This was in 2015. There was a thing called the Masonic Fraternal Police Department.
Oh yeah, you mentioned
and
that.
They had a website, and on the website they claimed to be a 3,000-year-old law enforcement group that were descendants from the Knights Templar, which immediately causes problems because the Knights Templar aren't 3,000 years old. So we're already running into
issues.
Some logistical problems.
Issues.
If they had said that they were a 3,000-year-old time-traveling law enforcement group that was descended from the Knights Templar, I would believe it.
And Van Damme's there in Time Cop.
Fuck yeah, he is. So they claim jurisdiction in 33 states in Mexico, and the chief of the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, a guy named David Henry, was sending letters to Southern California police chiefs to introduce himself as the new chief of the Masonic Fraternal Police Department.
Mm.
And people were like, okay, well.
Is it a private police force? Do they have any type of jurisdiction?
Nope.
Nope.
They just claimed it to show up and act as if
they had a new world order.
That they did have a fucking new world order.
Make it till you make it.
Yeah. So the LAPD did an investigation.
Like guns.
They were sending all this shit out, and the LAPD was finally just like, that's weird. We should
go see what's up.
Maybe investigate this. Look into it.
So they found out that these guys lived in Santa Clarita, and they went down there. And they discovered that all of the people who on the website were like the chief and all these stuff, none of them were cops. And they also did a deeper investigation and found out that none of them were Masons.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's awesome.
So
them motherfuckers had balls. Dude, they just send the chief of police a letter saying, hey, we're the new police force in town.
They got arrested for impersonating a police officer, the top three people. And when the LAPD raided them, they found police badges and shields. They found ID cards. They found weapons, police uniforms, painted police cars, law enforcement equipment. Like all of them had like full outfits and guns and belts and painted police cars and the whole fucking thing. And even like the neighbors and people who knew him were like, I thought the guy was a cop. Like he always parks his cop car right out there. Like everyone thought these guys were fucking
cops. It's all in the wording. Had they just said like, Masonic, protection enforcement or something, like they probably could have got away with it. It's like, no, we're a private police force.
No, but they were fully impersonating police officers, like fully.
And they were doing it for a while because they got away with it until they finally said, maybe we better look into this. Like,
and the two other people that were arrested, a gal named Tonette Hayes and a guy named Brandon Keel. And Keel was the director of community affairs at the California Department of Justice.
Wow.
So that was probably weird.
Some guys were just hanging out and had that idea.
Yeah, they were just like, why don't we just act like cops and Masons? Like they were just like drunk one night. You know what's awesome? Masons. No, you know what's awesome? Cops. Dude, you know what's more awesome? Mason cops. And then they just rolled with it.
I have to say they were ballsy, though.
Yeah.
Sending a press release to the chief of police.
And again, I do have to laugh because just moments ago, you were talking about the three of us needing to create our own Masons.
The three Masons.
Well, this is how it turns out.
No. No,
we're smarter.
No, we're better
than that.
Come on,
because if I was going to be a Mason and something else, I would be a Mason and an astronaut.
Ooh,
Astro
Masons.
Fuck yeah. Are you in? Are you in?
It sounds like some rough lube.
Astro Mason.
Slippery Bricks by Astro Mason.
So that was the best thing I ran into while looking into Mason conspiracies.
I like to state that my mind has been tired and I'm well aware that this is the Dave show the last couple episodes, but we appreciate you carrying the load and being really smart over there. And letting me and Brad sit on the side and shout things at you.
I studied. You didn't, fucker.
I studied. I did study, but
it's your fault. You can't retain information.
Less whiskey, more sleep. It's not sticking like it used to. Like there was a time where I felt really intelligent, and it
used to be young.
Stick. Yeah, and it's like the last couple of weeks. I'll be honest. I'm going to admit I'm struggling a little bit. I'm going to do better next week.
We all get there. Yeah. We're all there. Yeah. There's some days that Dave's like, I've got nothing, guys.
Dave's a champion lately, though.
Some days you eat the bar, and some days the bar eats you.
Yep. Just keep worshiping that Bethemian, what's his name? Baphomet.
I don't feel so bad now. I can't speak. Baphomet. I can speak when I need to.
So that's it. I don't know. Maybe maybe we're all bamboozled by their conspiracy and they fool us with fake cops and bad devil plots. And then we all expose it and say, they don't really worship the devil. And they're all laughing while they worship the devil.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, we have our own things. Like we have our own secrets. So we're putting up a store. You can order stickers. On the back of the stickers is a secret. The stickers are $199.99. You will get our secrets. So it's going to be you will become a
33rd degree sofa king.
Yep. That's exactly what you'll be.
Yep.
Actually, we got to start out at the $199 is a second degree.
Ooh, my, wow.
You know what? We should just fucking trump them. Like, you start at 34th degree.
Yeah, it's like War of the Warcraft. Yeah.
Like, fuck those guys. You start 34th level.
We're the expansion pack.
We're the DLC. Yeah.
You'll never be one of the three Masons, but you'll be Sofa King Mason.
That's right. That's right.
So, with that being said, I would like to give a shout out to our sponsors.
Thank you to, actually, I'm going to say I need to float again because my brain's fogged up, and I'm just going to say thanks to Dirk at Salt 7. He's not a sponsor or anything, but they're awesome.
Yep.
And if you live in Bakersfield and you haven't tried that, they're downtown just across from the Fox Theater. Their phone number is 661-380-6280. It's something to try for sure. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's my fifth time doing it.
We did get a comment from somebody on Twitter. They said that they like the clamshell ones actually better than the big tanks.
I've never done the clamshell.
I guess it would be a preference.
As long as the room is soundproof, I guess.
And I'm not, I don't want to get into a coffin and float.
No, exactly. I couldn't do the clamshell thing because I'd be fucking bumping into everything. Even though you can't see,
I like the idea of knowing that there is space around me. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I'd have to disagree on that, but I haven't tried the other, so I don't know. But Dirk's got big, spacious 6-foot by 7-foot by 10-foot tanks, and they are on isotopic suspension, which is unique to that facility. He actually created that. So they float on airbags and are amazingly soundproof, as we noted before. Like construction and concerts were going on feet away and I heard nothing.
Yeah.
But my earplugs were welded into my ears for the record.
So thank you, Dirt.
Yep. And go check them out. Digital Creations for making all of our cool swag, That Beard Stuff for keeping us handsome, and El Yucateco Hot Sauce. I'm off vacation and my butthole's burning again. Thank you so much for sending all that hot sauce. I've got a problem. So a bottle a week minimum.
And I posted a picture on Instagram because one thing that I've discovered that is delicious is to get a big tub of popcorn and put the regular red.
It just sounds so messy. How do you go about eating
delicious.
That?
Well, you put butter on a popcorn.
So good,
I mean, butter on popcorn.
Yeah, so
I'm
good.
Just picturing like red fire hands, like habanero butter hands.
Nah, Christ, how much are you thinking I'm putting on there?
It's going to absorb.
How are you dispersing
popcorn?
It? Did you put like a Windex spray nozzle on it?
No, you do a couple.
How are you dispersing the hot sauce?
Well, what's the method of disbursement?
Well, there needs to be an average surface ratio of you fucking sprinkle it in, shake the tub, sprinkle more in, shake the tub, sprinkle more in.
Is this like you would put butter or parmesan? You don't put parmesan?
Because I know a lot, like back in the day, like I used to know a lot of guys that would put Tabasco on their popcorn and it was always fucking disgusting. I couldn't stand that it was gross. And I know some people that did Tapatio and I was like, that's actually not bad. Tapatio is not bad, but the El Yucateco, fucking delicious. It elevates popcorn level 100 as soon as you put it on there.
Popcorn level 100. Next time, we're going to the movies just to see you do that.
Well, like, you're going to movies just so you can give me a blowjob.
You can get popcorn at other places.
You can't buy, so you're doing it at home?
I'm doing it at home.
I was going to buy your movie ticket, but we can't cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn if you're going to put your ticket on. Because that's probably not okay.
No, that would not be okay.
What's this?
On multiple levels.
Who put mushrooms in the popcorn? All right, guys, I got to piss like a racehorse. Are we done?
End it.
All right.
I feel like I'm affiliated with the Illuminati. All seeing fucking eye. This is your enlightenment. I'm lighting this fire. My supplier always like to get higher than I've ever been. These heights are mighty fighting. And your hands up as if you want strike like lightning. Don't shoot. You can't fight a Viking on Vicodin. Can you? I would like to see you try it then. I be eating rappers. That's the only way I'm biting them. That was yummy, yummy, dummy, dummy. Nothing funny, funny. Give a bitch some sippy, sippy. Then I get some sucky, 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 sucky. Now I think a nigga must be lucky, lucky. She's such a doll. I guess that makes me Chucky. What's up with y'all other than nothing at all? Bitches licking my balls. You ain't nothing at all. You ain't nothing at all. Neither am I. Heaven's a better place. I hope you all die. I think I'm Jimmy Hendrix. I think I'm Kurt Cobain. I think I'm John Lennon. Gone insane. Someone take this gun before I blow out my brain. Abso and AYIRO.
Grab a bitch, just grab your dick. Pop a fifth and have a sip. Smoke a blunt, pop a pill. Party every single night. Mingle with a nigga. White dog, we all go.
Life's a bitch, and she won't let me hit. So I just masturbate to her naked flicks. I change for a dollar, but I think I'm making sense. I do resemble my father, but do I really know I'm his? So
time I like to go on a tangent of random shit. Stay with the black and mild and a handful of acid tins. Skywalker in the blood, Darth Vader in the car. You don't get lifted with us. Your elevator stuck. I never gave a fuck. My name never came up. But now that I done came up, I think I'm Kane Tut. I told Punch I'd probably get assassinated by the government. You probably think I'm sniffing cocaine. That's some other shit. I'm on some other shit. Black hippie ho. Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yo. Tilt your head to see me in the sky. Heaven's a better place. I hope you all die. I think I'm Jimmy Hendrix. I think I'm Kurt Cobain. I think I'm John Lennon. Gone insane. Someone take this gun before I blow out my brain. Bang. Abso and AYIRO.
Grab a bitch, just grab your dick. Pop a fifth and have a sip. Smoke a blunt, pop a pill. Party every single night. Mingle with a nigga, white dog. We all go.
Drowning in Moscato. Popular pothead. Feel like I hit the lotto. And I just got head. From my famous motto. Ooh, Gloria Velez. Less than for Cubanas, culo, you know what it is. I think I'm Jimi Hendrix. Experience my fate. All I'm missing is a band of gypsies and some purple haze. But now it's OG Kush and Arrow Instrumentals. No need to insinuate, miss me with the innuendo. Your outlook's lousy, someone needs a new window. I'ma win, I just don't know window. You bimbos know what you win for. Some info to make you exercise your mental. A seed small as my pinky could be a weeping willow. I'm so ill, I'm held hostage at a hospital. Doing it big like not little. T-Bow the revolution when it's televised. Heaven's a better place, I hope you all die. I think I'm Jimi Hendrix. I think I'm Kurt Cobain. I think I'm John Lennon. Gone insane. Someone take this gun before I blow out my brain. Bang. Abso and AYIRO.
Grab a bitch, just grab your dick. Pop a fifth and have a sip. Smoke a blunt, pop a pill. Party every single night. Mingle with a nigga, white dog. We all go.
Ignis shit. Ha ha. Solo. Hey, Q, tell them we do this hippie shit, dog.
Hey, hold the fuck. Hey, one of you niggas dump. You niggas, one of you niggas ashing my activists.